Well, good afternoon, and again, allow me to thank you for being here, and thank you for having me here as well. It is a pleasure to be here. For our short time together this afternoon, we are going to arrive at a question which must be answered. Now, it's not a question that I've come up with, it's a question that's going to be found in the Bible that we're going to read from this afternoon. And the question we're going to arrive at that we must answer is this: what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the question that you must answer this afternoon. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? As I say, that question is from the Bible, because what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to read a section from the Bible, from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27. If you have a Bible with you and you'd like to read along with it, that would be most welcome, because I am so keen to make sure that you understand this afternoon that everything we are going to say is based upon the Bible, God's Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, perhaps you don't have one, I've brought at least one with me. You'd be welcome to it. Speak to me, or there are folks here that you'll know better. Speak to them and make sure that you have a Bible. We'd love you to have one. Maybe there is one at home, but you've just not taken it off the shelf in a while. Maybe there's one at home and it belonged to a family member and was passed down to you and it's just a bit dusty now. But I'm keen that you understand it is based upon the Bible, everything we're going to say. And you'll say to me at the end, "Ah, but the Bible's an old book." I'll agree with you. The Bible absolutely is an old book. Then you might say, "Ah, but the Bible's an out-of-date book." And there we'll disagree. Because the Bible could not be more up to date. It could not be more relevant to what you need to hear this afternoon. Now, that said, the world has done its very, very best to make sure that folks from Bridgerweir or Hoostall, wherever you're from, the world has done its very best to make sure that the folks around about us don't know what's in it. The world doesn't want you to know what's in the Bible. And as a consequence, when we do read the Bible in a moment, it's entirely possible that we might read some things that you don't understand. There are words in the Bible which we must speak about, and you might not have heard them before. For example, we must speak this afternoon about sin. We must speak about salvation. We must speak about places such as heaven and hell and the reality of them. And as I say, the world has done its very best because it doesn't want you to know what's in the Bible, lest you end up believing it. And it's entirely possible that you might not know about the man that we're going to read about this afternoon. And it's him that we are here to tell you about. You'll know his name because the world uses his name. It uses it daily. But it only ever uses his name in blasphemy and mockery as a name to be laughed at. We're going to read about Jesus Christ this afternoon. That's who we're here to tell you about. So, it's entirely possible that you might hear something this afternoon that you're not familiar with. I also speak very quickly. I'm from Chris House. I have an accent. If there's anything that I say this afternoon which you don't understand, please don't go away without either speaking to myself or somebody that you know better to have any questions answered. I want to make sure of that. Don't go away without having your questions answered if you have anything which comes up. So we pray that you'll understand what we're saying this afternoon. Now, Matthew, we said, chapter 27 of Matthew, and we're going to just take time to read the section there. As I say, the emphasis is on God's word. It's far more important than anything I can say. Let's take our time to read about the person that we are here to tell you about, Jesus Christ. You'll notice from verse number 11, he's the first name that we come across. Verse number 11 of Matthew 27, And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered to never a word, insomuch that the governor marvelled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, now listen to the question Pilate asked, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Now, we do trust that God will bless the reading of his word, the Bible. As I say, it's the single most important thing that we're going to look at this afternoon. And at the end of our short time together, we're going to come confronted again with that question. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now, we came across three main people in the short section that we read. The first one was Jesus. And let's be under no illusions, let's be very clear, he is the only person we are here to tell you about this afternoon. Jesus, which is called Christ. So we're going to refer to three men, but only Jesus is important. Please be clear in that. You'll realise the names of the other two there. One was a man called Pilate. Pilate, we read about him. He was called governor in the section as well, the governor. And the other was a man named Barabbas. And what we're going to see from our short section this afternoon is that Jesus was equated to Barabbas by Pilate. And the people, the audience, they were given a choice as to which one of the two they would choose. And then Pilate asked that question that we arrived at. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, in case like me, when you were a bit younger, you had a short attention span. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you've got a short attention span. And just in case you tune out in the next 5 minutes, see if I could have your attention even just for 5 minutes. If you can listen to the whole thing, great, that's fantastic. But even just for the 5 minutes, because we're going to start by talking and speaking about this man, Jesus. And so in case you tune out after 5 minutes, at least get this first 5 minutes. For he is the one we are here to tell you about. He's the one that, again, we're going to invite you, based upon the Bible, to believe in. And so you need to believe in him, but you need to know about him in order to believe in him. And so we start with just a few things about Jesus. We're not going to take time to turn to each section, but if you'd like, and we'd love to, at the end of our time together, if you want us to turn to every reference that we're making in the Bible, we'd love to do that, to show you again from the Bible, that it's based upon the Bible what we say about him. As I say, he's the one whose name that you know, because you hear it daily, but in mockery. Jesus, who is called Christ. He is the Son of God. That's the first thing, which makes him God himself. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is God. He is God who left the dwelling place of God And I wonder if we even ask the children, where does God, where does God live? They would know it's heaven. He is the one who left heaven and came to earth and became man, something he'd never been before, but he became man. Who is Jesus? He is God, yet he is man. He is the one who, yes, he was born, but there was never a time when this one did not exist. He is eternal in his character and his person. He has always been. He is the one who created all things. Without him, there was not anything made that was made. He made all things. He made you. He made me. He is God who has a deep interest and a love for men, for women, for boys and girls. He is one who, when he was here, never ceased to be God. And because he was God, he could do wonderful things. Well, the Bible calls them miracles. They were miraculous. We don't have time to get through them all, but whether it be feeding 5,000 people from such few objects, whether it be walking on water, whether it be making the blind to see, whether it be making the lame to walk, whether it be curing people who had diseases of all different sorts, whether it even be raising those who were dead back to life because he is God, and demonstrating God's love towards men and women. He was one, and we need to describe him, based upon the Bible, who was sinless. Sinless. Now, that means that he was without sin. And I'm being careful to say that. We said we had to talk about sin, but we said that it was a word that the world doesn't use. Sin, three letters, S-I-N, but such huge consequences of such a small word. Sin, very simply, as the Bible would tell us, is falling short of God's glory. Falling short of God's standard of holiness, of perfection, of doing always what is right and nothing wrong at all. The Bible would tell us some more detail about it, but I'm pleased we don't have to go into detail about it, because I'm sure that you know in your life what sin is. It's doing those things that we don't want to do. But the Bible tells us we can't cease from sin, we can't stop ourselves doing them sometimes. Do you know what sin is as well? Sin's not doing what we should do. When the Bible tells us we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, might, everything about us, we know we don't do that. I'm pleased that you don't know what the sins are in my life. And I don't know what the sin is in your life. But God knows them. God knows them. Jesus, which is called Christ, Jesus Christ, is sinless. The Bible describes him as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Nothing about him at all whatsoever that could respond to sin. And our verses this evening preceded the crucifixion of Jesus. The Bible tells us that. Our verses said that he was delivered to be crucified. You see, the sinless Son of God was taken by men. Even though, as we read here, the question was asked, what evil has he done? He had done nothing wrong, for he could not sin. And men took him and nailed him to a tree. And we read this evening some of the things that men did to him. But do you know, this afternoon, it wasn't just what men did to him. But at the place called Calvary, where they crucified him, when Christ died, there were 3 hours of absolute darkness where God judged the sin of the world in the person of his Son. And God made it possible that the sin in our lives could be forgiven. And it was accomplished by the shedding of the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It was necessary that he should shed his blood. Christ shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary in order that God could have a basis to forgive our sin. And he died. He died. He died. For no sin of his own, but for our sin. And we're going to speak about sin more as time goes on. But Christ died for our sins. And as I said, I wanted just 5 minutes. Whether you tune out after that or not, it's up to you. Christ has died for our sin. It is possible that we can have our sin forgiven and the consequences of our sin that we'll speak about by simply believing. By believing in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. God himself. And if we confess our sin, not to a man, not to a person, but to Christ, to God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all that sin, by simply believing. And so I trust just in a few minutes there, whether I can hold your attention or not, he He's the one that we are here to tell you about this afternoon. Jesus, which is called the Christ. We're going to arrive at that question, though. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? For the Word of God demands an answer to it as to exactly what we're going to do with him. Anyway, we said three men, Jesus. And here he was, and his life up until this point in Matthew's Gospel, as we said, separate from sinners. There was nothing that he ever did which was wrong, which displeased God, unlike us, which always brought delight to God his Father. This was Jesus. And here he was, and their section this evening, this afternoon, brings us to one of the trials that he went through. Because it might surprise you to know this, that the Son of God, who did nothing wrong, men hated him. Men hated him. Because in his sinless perfection, he showed up the hypocrisy, the sin in the lives of those round about him. That's what his sinless life did. It showed up the sin in others, and as a result, men hated him. Even Pilate realised that, the one we read about. He realised that they were jealous of him. That was why they had brought him before Pilate. That was the exact reason it had happened. And so here we read about how before Pilate, Jesus said nothing to them. There was no need. He didn't have to defend himself. These were false accusations that were being brought against him that we've read about this evening that Jesus was defending himself against. And so Pilate realises, I know there's a way where I can release Jesus without any consequence or punishment to him. And so Pilate says, I'll give an alternative, because Pilate at this particular time had the opportunity to release without consequence a prisoner back to the people. And so Pilate says, I know, I'll give him a choice, Jesus or this other man, Barabbas. Barabbas. Now, just for a wee minute, Barabbas. Just so we understand a little bit about him, to understand the choice that these people faced. Barabbas. We don't know huge amounts about him, but an interesting person nonetheless, because, oh, there are some folks, whether it's TV that they watch or not, I think some folks even watch this Netflix stuff that's on the go. And real true crime programmes are fascinating to people. I think there's no end of choice for true crime programmes. And if you can get a case which is true crime, which is so unbelievable, it fascinates people. Do you know that? That would be the experience of Barabbas. Episode 1, you've been introduced to Barabbas. Oh, maybe a young man, a mysterious past. We don't know much about his past. His name means the son of a father. Maybe he didn't know who his father was. And so episode 1, we realise that maybe he was beginning to go off the rails because he didn't have a father, and who knows. Episode 2, to survive, maybe initially, he has to steal to get by. But we realise by the end of the episode, he's not just a thief, he's a robber. Now he's actively robbing people. He's causing harm. Barabbas was a robber. Episode 3, he gets a gang together. And this gang that he gets together don't like the rulers who are in place in the city in which he lives. And so this gang begin to plan something. They begin to plan an insurrection, a riot. They'll rebel against those who are in charge. Episode 4, the riot takes place, the insurrection takes place, and Barabbas, during this time, commits murder. Because he was a robber, but now he's killing people, Barabbas. And he's getting a real reputation about himself. He's a robber, he's a murderer. But they're not good enough to overthrow those who are in power. Episode 5, Barabbas. Bound in prison. Bound in jail. Lying there with those who are committing insurrection. Lying there bound with those found guilty. Found guilty as a murderer and facing... it would be death row, he'd be on. It was on death row, Barabbas. Waiting to receive the due rewards of his deed. Waiting to receive the rightful consequences of his lifestyle and what he'd done. Episode 6. There's a morning comes in the experience of Barabbas. Maybe the morning he was due to be executed. But the door of the cell opens. And Barabbas is allowed to go free. Despite the fact he was a convicted murderer and a convicted robber, Barabbas is allowed to go free. And Barabbas would be leaving, the cuffs or whatever he was bound with would be taken off, and he walks out a free man. And perhaps he would just walk past the place near where he was held, and he would look up and he would see maybe people that he knew, also crucified, also nailed to a cross, because they were robbers, they were thieves. And he would see a cross that was perhaps meant for him, and yet there was someone else upon it. Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want to choose? I have Barabbas, a convicted murderer, or I have Jesus, which is called Christ." Remember we said, one who had actually brought the dead back to life, one who had restored life, not taking it away. Of all the miraculous things he did, perhaps that was the most miraculous. Bringing life back where there had been death, one who had taken away life. And he said, "Which one do you want to choose?" Miscarriage of justice wouldn't summarise it. And those who were jealous of him said, "We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas." Pilate asked the question that we said we had to arrive at. "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Our sin, which Christ had none of, separate from sinners, holy, undefiled. Our sin naturally means that we rebel against God. We're at enmity with God, says the Bible. We're ungodly. We're separated from God because of our sin, here, now, in time. And the wages of our sin, says the Bible, is death. That's the consequences of our sin. That's what our sin rightfully deserves because we are sinners. No one, probably even Barabbas, wouldn't argue with you that he had committed crimes, he had broken the law. There deserve to be consequences of that. Our sin deserves God's wrath, God's judgment against us. As sinners, says the Bible, we're condemned already. The Bible tells us that our sin will be punished, first of all in hell, and ultimately the lake of fire. A place God never intended or created for that purpose, but a place nonetheless where our sin will be judged through all eternity, separate from God. That's the consequences of our sin that we rightfully deserve. But we said that Christ, Jesus, who is God, has a deep love and interest in men and women in you this afternoon. And the way that God has demonstrated his love toward us, beyond any other measure, is that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. That's what we said. That upon the cross of Calvary, God's wrath and anger and holy righteous judgment of sin was met out upon the person of God's Son. And that we who deserve God's eternal judgment against us, we can have our sin forgiven. We can have our sin forgiven and know for all certainty and assurance of a place in God's presence in heaven. We can know that because Christ has died, but only if we believe in him. Provision has been made for all, but it's only for those who have believed in him. And again, I'm conscious. Maybe you're here this afternoon. Maybe you've friends or parents or grandparents who have brought you along. And maybe you know that your parents have trusted the Lord Jesus before. Maybe you're hoping that's good enough for you. Maybe you've never done it yourself. Well, it has to be a personal thing. You personally have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Make him your very own saviour. One who saves. Receive salvation. Be saved from the consequences of our sin. And be saved knowing that Christ, having died, having not just died, but risen again, is one who now lives in the power of an endless life and is one who longs to be your saviour, who loves you, who gave himself for you, having shed his blood, and says, "If you believe in me, you can be saved." You know, Barabbas versus Christ, when the choice was given, it beggars belief at times to understand what happened in that occasion. But they chose Barabbas and he went free. And Christ was led away to be crucified. That's how our section ended. They led him away to crucify him. Pilate for a moment. Pilate was a powerful man. He thought at least. Pilate was a man who had authority. Pilate was a man who even said to Jesus, "Do you not know that I get power to release you if I wanted to?" So he thought. But it would seem, even though actually he was a cruel man, and we read in the Bible some of the cruel things that he did, it would seem, even from the section that we read, he marvelled at Christ. He asked the question, what evil has he done? Elsewhere we read that Pilate sought to release Jesus. But ultimately, it doesn't seem as if he believed in him. Because he had to make a decision for himself, Pilate. As we said, it's a personal thing. He had to decide for himself what he would do. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And it would seem that Pilate was afraid. There were those round about putting pressure on him. There were those round about who were pressuring him into not releasing him. And Pilate was too weak to choose Christ. Too afraid to choose Christ. Friend, this afternoon, please understand. We're not here to offend anyone. We trust we're basing everything from the Bible. When the Bible says that we are sinners, that we have to accept that. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, yes, I'd long to be in heaven one day. And men like Barabbas, who are robbers and murderers, they deserve to be in hell. That's what they deserve. But I'll be all right. I'm not as bad as that. I've been on balance, I've been a good enough person. Do you know what the Bible tells us in Revelation? It tells us of the people who are not in heaven. It tells us of the people who are in that lake of fire ultimately. And yes, everybody that you might expect to be there, they are listed. But at the top of that list, it tells us, are the fearful and the unbelieving. First and foremost, we will not be in heaven because we have not believed. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us, he that believeth on the Son, Jesus Christ, he that believeth on him has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Shall not see life. We cannot be in heaven without having believed in him, but rather the wrath of God abideth on him. God longs for you to trust in his Son. God has loved you and has sent his Son to die, that our sin might be forgiven by simply believing in him. I trust this afternoon there will be nobody who is too afraid of what friends might think, of what neighbours might think, of what the world might think. Because Pilate, it would seem, was too weak, too afraid to go against what everyone else was saying. And ultimately, he let the crowd persuade him. So this afternoon, when we ask that question again, what then? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There's no such thing as no decision, by the way. To try and defer it or to try and put it off is a decision. It's a rejection of Christ, ultimately. You either accept Christ as your saviour or you reject him. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? This afternoon, our prayer is, as we're praying from the outset, our prayer is that no one in our gathering here would be trusting in any other means to have sin forgiven, would be trusting in any other means to be in heaven one day other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the fact that Christ has risen again and this afternoon can be your saviour. You don't have to answer the question out loud. It's between you and God. That's what we said. Between you and God. But in the sight of God, who knows you, answer the question to yourself, the question that Pilate asked. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Thank you again for your attention. As mentioned, there are things that sometimes when we speak quickly, maybe we don't explain as fully as we wanted to. And so if there's anything that we've said this afternoon which you need clarified or explained again, if there's anything that you said that you'd like us to take you to the Word of God and show you, please ask us to do so. It's too important not to ask. Please ask us. The offer of the Bible again is available if you'd like one. But please, as you answer the question, choose Christ. Let's just bow our heads again in our hearts and speak to God in prayer.